might consider the words of the opening verse of this psalm. Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. I want to pay particular attention to that word of exhortation. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. To be in Christ is to experience a change that is both radical and reforming. The man that is in Christ, Paul says, he is a new creature. The word creature means something that is made. So, through regeneration, through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit that put us in Christ through the new birth, we were instantaneously made anew. We were, as it were, remade. We were like that vessel upon the potter's wheel that was marred, and the potter had to make it anew. So, through the new birth, through being brought into Christ, we were made anew. All things, Paul says, are become new. Not will become new, but are already. The change, bless God, has already taken place. All things, yea, all things are become new. Have you ever thought about the things which became new when you were brought into Christ? 1 Peter 2 verse 2 tells us that we had a new birth as newborn babes. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Romans 6 verse 4, Paul tells us that we are to walk in newness of life. So we had a new birth and we have received new life. We have received a new nature, having put on, as Paul says, the new man. There's our new nature. The Lord has given us, according to Ezekiel, a new heart, and He has given us a new spirit. So we have the new birth, we have new life, we have a new nature, we have a new heart, we have a new spirit, all through being in Christ. We have, according to Isaiah 62 verse 2 also, a new name. All things are become new. Matthew 26 verse 28, the Lord Jesus shed His blood, and it's called the blood of the new covenant. We were once under the old covenant, the covenant of works that had been broken and transgressed by our first parents, and we were also regarded as those who had broken the covenant of works, but now we're under the covenant of grace. We're under a new covenant. And the blood of Jesus Christ is the blood of the new covenant, or the New Testament. Oh yes, something else that is new. Received a new song. A new birth, new life, new nature. To the new man in Christ, new heart, new spirit, new name, new covenant. And we now sing a new song. And here the psalmist exhorts us to sing that new song. For the psalmist says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." Why a new song? That's what we want to consider tonight, the new song. That every child of God, every soul that is in Christ has received. First of all, let us consider the song and its title. Every song has a title. We go to the back of our new hymnal, and we have the title of all the songs in our new hymnal. Well, here is the title of this song. It's called A New Song. Why is it called a new song? The word for new song in the original text suggests a song was never heard before. Stands the sense it's a new song, never been heard before. Now we might ask, when would this new song have been written? The psalmist gives us the answer. Sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand, His holy arm, have gotten Him the victory. And so we gather that this new song was written following the great things that God hath done. Something that God did prompted this new song to be written. For you see, it was a common thing amongst the Jews to write songs to mark some great event, some great thing that the Lord did for their nation. Turn, please, to Exodus 15. We have a perfect example of this. Exodus 15. And there we read in the opening verse, Israel has just been delivered out of the house of bondage. The Egyptians have been defeated. Pharaoh has been overthrown. And that prompts Moses to sing. And we discover that he sings a new song. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed. That's why the song was written, to mark the Lord's mighty triumph, His mighty victory over Pharaoh. He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare Him a habitation. My Father's God, I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. What a song to sing. And this song was written to mark that great victory over Pharaoh. You can go to Judges 4, the first few verses of Judges 5, and there you have Deborah singing and Barak, and they sing a new song. Why do they sing? Because God has given Israel the victory. And so we see that a new song was written to mark a great victory wrought by the Lord. Now here the child of God by the psalmist is being exhorted to sing a new song. So the first thing we notice about this song and its title, that it is a commemorative song. The new song that we sing commemorates what the Lord has done for us. We started to sing that new song when we received Jesus Christ, yea, when we were brought into Christ. It commemorates a time when through grace we were rescued and plucked as brands from the burning. A time when we were lifted out of the mire of sin and made new creatures in Christ Jesus. A time when we were brought from darkness into marvelous light, from death to life, from despair to joy, from being slaves to sin, to freedom in Jesus Christ. For him whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. Oh, what a time that was. What a blessed hour that was that witnessed the rebirth of our souls. And a song was written to commemorate that great event. It's called A New Song. The time that is written down in glory, recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Time when we were brought into Christ, and at that moment we started to sing the new song. This new song commemorates not only a time but a triumph. What did the psalmist write? Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Moses wrote in his song, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. Notice the connection. Songs were written to commemorate the Lord's triumph and victory over the enemy. That's why we sing the new song, to commemorate the Lord's victory over our enemy. Moses went on to sing that the Lord had triumphed gloriously, and he had cast the rider and the horse into the sea. Dearly beloved, tonight, there was a time when a horse and a rider pursued us. It was the pale horse and the rider pursued us, and death and hell followed. And that's where we were headed. We were headed to certain death, and eternal damnation in hell. But then the Lord Jesus came to our rescue. The Lord Jesus has triumphed gloriously. He dismounted the rider. He cast the horse into the sea. And he has gotten us the victory. That's why we sing the new song. To commemorate the victory that the Lord Jesus wrought for us. Jesus, the captain of our salvation, went out against our enemy and slew the enemy of our soul. He slew the dragon. He bruised the serpent's head. That's why we sing the new song. That new song commemorates that great victory. We can read about it in Isaiah 63. There in verse 1, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trod in the wine press alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. And I will stain all my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. The new song commemorates this great victory. And here the psalmist says, let us sing a new song unto the Lord. Not only is it the commemorative song, it's here in this psalm a chosen song. For the psalmist said, let us sing a new song unto the Lord. This is the song that the psalmist chose. This is the song that the psalmist wants us to sing unto the Lord. He wants us to sing this new song. Those that are here tonight who can look back to a time when you were brought into Christ, you remember before that time the old songs you used to sing. The old worldly songs, the old wicked songs, the old ungodly songs. Psalmist says, now sing the new song. Dear child of God, we now have a new song. It's a precious song, the song that was chosen by the psalmist. No doubt when we get better acquainted with our new hymnal, there'll be songs in there that will be very precious to us, perhaps there already are. Songs that have a special place in your heart and mine, because you associate that song with some event perhaps that took place in your life. And that song has become very precious to you. You can search all the hymnals that are ever printed. You will not find in all those hymnals a song more precious than the new song. Why do we say that? Because this song was given to us very high price. This new song was given to us by the Son of God Himself. And this song was given to us at a very high price when God gave His Son, and the Son of God gave His life and shed His blood that we might be saved. That we might sing the new song. Does that not make it? We're able to sing this song because of the blood of the Lord Jesus. The new song that we sing has its source in the sufferings and sorrows of our blessed Redeemer. Turn please to Psalm 40. We're familiar with this psalm. Psalm 40, and there we read in the opening verses, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth. He hath put a new song in my mouth. As we pointed out this morning, this Psalm 40 is a messianic psalm. This is a psalm all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because none but Christ could say the words of verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. None but Christ could say, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. This book, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here is a psalm. Here's a messianic psalm. We read there about the Lord Jesus being brought up out of an horrible pit and out of a miry clay. When Jesus Christ went to Calvary and entered into the 3 hours of darkness, and the fellowship between Father and Son was broken. Jesus Christ entered into a deep pit. then at the end of that period of time, he was lifted up out of that pit. The Lord was able to say, he hath put a new song in my mouth. Here is the song that the Lord Jesus sang. It's not only a messianic psalm, it is of course a psalm of David. And here is David saying, the Lord hath given me a new song. The song that he purchased for me with his own blood. Dear believer, tonight, that new song ought to be precious to every believer. Because it was purchased at such a high price. If Christ had not come into this world and Christ had not gone to Calvary and suffered and bled and died and shed his blood, we could never have sung the new song. Never. Not only is it a precious song, it's a personal song. Something very personal about the new song. This is a song that is very personal to every believer. Turn, please, to the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. And here the new song is mentioned again. Here the new song is being sung in heaven. John heard them sing the new song. Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Now turn, please, to Revelation 14. Here's the last mention of the new song. Revelation 14, verse 3. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. Mark this. This is why we say it's very personal. For in Revelation 14, verse 3, we read, and no man could learn that song. But the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. It's the song of the redeemed. That's what makes it personal. All of us tonight who have been redeemed can say, that's my song. All of us that have been redeemed with the blood of Christ, bought out of the slave market of sin by the blood of the Savior, can say, that new song is my song. Only those who have been redeemed can sing this song. There is singing up in heaven such as we have never known. While angels sing the praises of the Lamb upon the throne. Their sweet harps are ever tuneful and their voices always clear. Oh, that we might be more like them as we serve the Master here. Holy, holy is what the angels sing. And I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring, but when I sing redemption's story, they will fold their wings. For angels never felt the joys that our salvation brings. Angels are eternally happy, but there is one joy they've never tasted of. The joy that comes from knowing our sins have been forgiven. Angels are denied that. They've never been rescued, never been redeemed from the mire of sin And so when in glory we sing redemption song, when we sing redemption story, the angels must fold their wings and stand in silence. It's a very personal song. It's the song of the redeemed. Something else about this song. It's a changeless. Songs today are one day or one week wonders. Before God saved me, thank God He delivered me from that, but before the Lord saved me, I had my eye on the top 20 every week to see if my favorite singer had reached number one. And maybe he stayed there for a couple of weeks and then someone else took his place. And the song that was popular one day had been forgotten 2 weeks later. And so it goes on right down through the years, right to today. The song that is popular today will be forgotten by the end of the month. Not the new song. This song has changed. You first read about this new song in Psalm 33, verse 3. It's the first mention of the new song. And we've just read from Revelation 14, verse 3, the last mention of the new song. And so we find that after centuries, they're still singing the new song on earth, and bless God, when we reach glory, it'll be the new song we'll sing then. It'll not be some other song. We'll not have to invent a new song. We'll sing the old song. The song that's old, like the gospel, but ever new. This speaks to us then of its fresh. Well, you hear sometimes songs and you say, oh, I'm tired listening to that song. You're never tired listening to or singing the new song. It's always fresh. It's like the word itself. It's like the gospel. Oh, you never tire of hearing the word preached. You never tire of listening to the preaching of the gospel. And this song is old yet ever new. Like salvation that wears well. It's like the shoes in Israel and the feet of the children of Israel never wears out. This is a changeless song. And it's always fresh. We will never grow weary singing about the Lamb. We'll never grow weary singing about the Lord. For that's what this new song is all about. That's why the psalmist said, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Think of its freshness. Saints in glory are singing it today. It was first sung or mentioned back in Psalm 33. It's sung throughout time and it'll be sung throughout eternity. And we'll never tire singing. Bless the Lord. Think of its freshness. Think of its fullness. You know, some songs, there's not really much to them. Bit of a chorus, and that's about it. Some songs sung in churches today, and there's not much to them. Just a bit of a chorus, and that's it. Something you can repeat about 2 or 3 dozen times. Think of the fullness of the new song. You sing the new song, you don't need any other song. It's interesting that that little phrase, a new song, is found 7 times in the Old Testament, 6 in the Psalms and once in the book of Isaiah. 7 times. Number of completion. Number of perfection. Oh, would this not then emphasize the fullness of this song? It's complete. You don't need to sing the songs of the world. We have the new song. It's the old, old song. Bless the Lord, it is ever new. Changeless. Never needs to be changed. That's why our hymnal took so long from the day it was planned to our receiving of it this past week. There are a lot of things in it had to be changed. Those who worked upon it did a tremendous job. Tunes had to be changed. Notes had to be changed. Words had to be changed. But the new song will never need to be changed. It's changed. The song and its title, you have the song and its theme. The psalmist just said, sing unto the Lord a new song. What's this new song all about? Well, we discovered there in Revelation, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. There's the theme of the new song. Theme of the new song, the cross. The cross. When Moses composed that song that he sang that's recorded in Exodus 15, the theme of that song was the overthrow of the Egyptians, the victory of Jehovah over Pharaoh. The theme of that song was the deliverance of Israel out of the house of bondage. And the theme of our song is the great victory of Calvary. They sung a new song. Worthy, thou art worthy, for thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Remember when the Lord Jesus went up into a mount with his three disciples, Peter, James, and John? He went there to pray. And as they prayed, the Lord Jesus was transfigured before them, and suddenly standing with the Lord Jesus were two Old Testament saints, Elias and Moses. And they stood on that mount and engaged in conversation with the Lord Jesus. What did they talk about? Well, Luke chapter 9 tells us what they talked about. We read in Luke chapter 9. There in Luke 9. We read in verse 31, Moses and Elias, who appeared with the Lord, verse 31, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. The topic of their conversation was the cross work of Christ. They spoke about his decease, and they spoke about what he would accomplish at Jerusalem. Spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Lest the Lord Christ did not die in defeat. He died that he might accomplish a great work. The salvation of his life. And there the saints in heaven, Moses and the last, that's what they talked about. That was their theme of their conversation. That tells us then that when we get to heaven, that's what our conversation will be about. We'll be talking about the cross work of Christ. Not only will we be singing about the cross, we'll be speaking about the cross. What a wonderful theme. The cross. Could we think of a better theme for the new song than the cross? It was the theme of Paul's preaching. Where he says, we preach Christ crucified. It was the theme of Paul's, praise God, forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believer, isn't that where our glory is tonight? Isn't it in the cross of Jesus Christ? What a wonderful theme. And able to sing for all eternity about the cross work. It's a wonderful theme. It's a worthy theme. Can we think again of a more worthy theme to sing about in heaven or even here on earth than the cross work of Christ? What did they sing? They said, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb to receive honor. It's a worshipping theme as well. Because as they engaged in that service of worship in heaven, it was the new song they chose for their service. Dear child of God, in our worship of the Lord, we must sing the new song and we must focus our attention of our singing on the cross. The cross and what Jesus Christ did for us. Not only do we have here the song and its theme, the cross, the theme of this song is also the Christ. The Lord Jesus is the center of all worship in heaven, so we should be the center of all worship here in our preaching, in our praying, and in our prayers. Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the central theme of all praise offered in heaven. You look there at Revelation 5 again. Look at the Christ of this new song. You have Christ's word. Thou art worthy to take the book. You have Christ's work. He hath redeemed us and made us. That's His work. You have Christ's world. For He hath redeemed us by His own blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Throughout the whole world there are believers. Souls that have been rescued by the blood of Christ. You have Christ's worth. Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. And finally you have the song and its tribute. Here we have the psalmist saying, sing unto the Lord a new song. We are to give glory and praise to the Lord. I came across a quote of C.H. Spurgeon that really blessed my own heart with regard to the praise of the Lord and singing the new song in heaven. Spurgeon said this. He said, the last song in this world, the song of triumph, shall be full of God and of no one else. Here ye praise the instrument. Today you look on this man, on that, and you say, thank God for this minister and for this man. Today you say, blessed be God for Luther, who shook the Vatican, and thank God for Whitfield, who stirred up the slumbering church. But on that day, you shall not sing of Luther, or of Whitfield, or any other of the mighty ones of God's host. Forgotten shall be their names for a season, even as the stars refuse to shine when the sun himself appeareth. Song shall be unto Jehovah. Jehovah only. We shall not have a word to say for preachers or bishops, not a syllable to say for good men and true, but the whole song from first to last shall be unto him that loved us and hath washed us from our sins in his own blood. Unto him be glory. Sing the new song here, because we'll sing it for all eternity in glory. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, we do bless Thee for the new song. We bless Thee for the grace of God that has enabled us to sing the new song. For Lord, we remember the old days when we used to sing the old songs. Gracious Father, we're glad that Thou hast given us a new song to sing. Even praise unto our God. O Lord, we pray that our worship here upon earth, O Lord, will be just a foretaste of glory divine, just the beginning of that great service in heaven, when with the redeemed from every kindred and tongue and we shall sing with one voice the new song, Worthy is the Lamb. O Lord, help us to sing Worthy is the Lamb here upon earth. We ask these things in our Savior's name, praying, Lord, for any dear soul tonight who knows nothing of the new song. They cannot truthfully sing about the triumphs of Calvary. O gracious Lord, we pray that ere this night comes to a close, that they will indeed be singing the new song with all others who have been redeemed by precious blood. We ask these things in Thy name.